You know, we need to learn not to listen to that other voice. We need to listen to the voice of truth. That tells me a different story. Tells me it's going to be okay. Only trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your reason, your understanding. Don't trust in your own intellect. Trust in the Lord. Trust in the word of the Lord. His word is forever settled in heaven. The entrance of His word, it brings light. It brings illumination. Light we can see, amen, by. We can discern, we can understand, we can know what is real. By the light of Christ, through the word of God, we come to the place where we begin to discern between right and wrong, good and evil. What pleases the Lord and what does not. Light has come. So arise and shine, for your light has come. How many know that under the Old Testament system, the priest was to keep the oil supply, amen, to the lamp? He was to continually maintain the lamp, and that the oil was continuously flowing into the lamp in the holy place. In the New Testament, you and I are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And there is a supply of oil. And the oil typified the Holy Spirit. Amen?
Yes.
And He's the light of Christ. So we need the oil to be flowing continually, because if you don't keep the oil continually flowing, what happens to the lamp? Has anybody ever discovered that yet? That if you don't keep praying, keep worshiping, stay in the Word, keep walking with Jesus, right? That the light starts to go out, and it goes out very quickly sometimes. And sometimes it goes out and you don't even realize it's going out. Because the enemy is good at interference. He's good at causing distraction to get you preoccupied with lesser things so that you'll miss out on the greater things. The Lord has come that we might have life. It is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom, Jesus said. He spoke to His disciples. And then when He ascended on high, He gave them instruction. He said, teach the others that come after you to observe everything I taught you. So we are to do the works that Jesus did. And as He had imparted these truths to His disciples, and they are written, amen, in the Holy Script, they're for our admonition today, that we can understand who we are, our identity, not what the world says, not what the devil says, but our identity in Christ, that we are a new creation. And through the knowledge of the truth, the deception and the lies have no place to hide. You need to know what is true in order to distinguish between what is true and false. The problem is that many do not know what the truth is, and so they're not free. Jesus said, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free.
Yes.
And the truth will keep you free. But if we don't know what the truth is, then we can be bound by lies. We can be bound by deception. We can believe a lie as though it were true, because we have nothing to judge it by. We have no standard by which to live. And when people begin to pick and choose from the Word of God what they're going to receive and what they're not going to receive, what they're actually doing is becoming wise in their own understanding then, and they become their own standard. They become a law unto themselves. They become their own authority. And we begin to become idolatrous in our hearts, because then we begin to erect within ourselves a Jesus of our own choosing rather than the Jesus that is revealed through the Word of God by the Holy Spirit. And as long as we do not agree with what God says, we are actually shutting down the flow of God's grace into our hearts. If you want to know what is true, you've got to open your heart. And you've got to receive what God says. That means we cannot be partial in that. God gave us, amen, a full meal here in His Word. And if you just eat sweet stuff all the time, you will get sick. So we need the full counsel of God to be healthy. We need the body of Christ. We need each one doing their part to be healthy. We need to be united. We need to be in this thing together. This is not New Horizons thing. It's not Church of God. It's not Baptists or whatever else is out there. It is a Jesus thing that we're doing.
Amen.
It is about the kingdom of God. It is about the Lord and His assignment on the earth for those He has redeemed with His own blood. And as we are working together, united together, and we get a hold of what God is saying and what God is doing, and we begin to run the race together, folks, we will be a powerful impact. Amen. And not only in our families, but in our community and in our world. God wants His people to come together. The enemy is fighting very hard to create and cause division among God's people. Because he knows that if a house is divided, it can't stand. And in our city, our prayer is that the churches will come together. Amen. The churches that exalt Jesus and believe the word of God will come together. Not all of them do that. But there are many good churches. And there are many, you know, there are other camps. I mean, there are other assignments. And God is working throughout the earth. But God's prayer through Jesus was that we might be one. So even though we have our own assignment, our own company, our own church family, we're part of something much bigger than ourselves.
Yeah.
And we've got to get God's perspective. And we've got to get out of the small thinking of just, you know, sitting around and just kind of existing within the church box. We've got to break out, amen, into our community, into, amen, our society. And we need to be salt and we need to be light and we need to be influencers. We need to quit being influenced. We need to be the influencers.
Yeah.
Amen. We need to be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. We go in the power and the authority of Christ's commission to go in my name and preach the gospel. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. It's good to be together with God's people in His presence.
Yes.
And you know, it's okay to be who you are. When you come in here, you don't have to try to act like or be like somebody else. You can be who you are here. Why? Because God made you the way you are because He wanted you that way. I'm not talking about our failures and our weaknesses. Those are things that God's working on. Amen. But who you are as a person. If you try to be somebody you're not, you won't be who you are. And if you're not who you are, somebody's going to miss out on who you are. Because you are a contribution to the whole of humanity. Amen. Folks, we've been talking about pulling down strongholds. And a stronghold is a place, it's a thought system that is not submitted to Christ. It is a place of security that we give to the devil due to rebellion or unbelief or an uncontrolled mind. Amen. If we will take captive these thoughts at the inception when they first come, as even the discovering in medical science, there's that area of the brain called the free will where you can immediately cast it down. You can take it captive and say, no, I'm not going to meditate on that, think on that, dwell on that. But if we don't, then we're allowing that thing to seep down inside our brains and actually create, you know, a toxicity in the brain called bad thoughts, you know. Evil thoughts. We have a choice to make when we hear something, whether it's something somebody says, whether it's a thought that comes in. We have to make a decision whether we're going to entertain it or not. You have the power to say no to ungodly thoughts. Are you with me? You cannot always determine if an evil thought is going to come or not. They just show up sometimes. You can be driving down the road and all of a sudden it's like whammo. This little voice begins to speak into your head. It's at that point where you have to take it captive. Because it's much easier to take that thought captive and cast it down immediately than it is, as the doctor was saying, to rebuild. And we do, according to Romans 12, amen, to be renewed in the spirit of our mind. And so we need to be washed through the truth, the word of God. And what we're doing is we quit feeding the bad part. Amen. We quit feeding the wrong stuff into our minds. And we start feeding it what's good, what's pure, what's true, what's healthy, what's of good report. You know? You know what I'm talking about. If you hang around with negative people, if you hang around with gossipers, you very quickly can become like them. And people that are caught up into that can be delivered, but it may be a process of renewing that's going to, you know, sometimes at salvation, things immediately disappear from our lives. Have you noticed that?
Yes.
But other things take time to work out in our lives. And so we need to take captive every thought to the obedience of Christ. So turn in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians once again. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. One of the first things your adversary wants to do is he wants you to question the authority of God's word. He wants you to question this book even. Does God really mean what he says? Can you really trust in what God says? As he spoke to Eve, he says, yea, hath God said. Did God really mean what he said when he told you not to eat of the forbidden fruit? So the first thing he wants to do is he wants to put a question in your mind, my mind, as to the authority of this scripture right here, these scriptures. Is this the inspired word of God or not? And if you start to pick it apart, and if you start to believe that yes, portions of scripture can be trusted, but others cannot be, then we begin to become our own judge over what God says. Are you with me? I would much rather receive the full counsel of God, just hook, line, and sinker what God says, put my faith, trust my eternal soul on this book and this word, amen, than to be wise in my own eyes and think, well, to me it's like this, or to me it's like that. And I have found that every time I have trusted, really trusted what God said in this word, he has never failed in his word. I have discovered through experience that this word is true. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. But if you pick and choose and you decide, I like this, I don't like that, then you are actually shutting down the flow of God's mercy, his grace to your heart. If you want to be renewed, if you want to get the junk out, if you want to be built up in Christ, you've got to trust and believe that this word is the word of God. That's how the cults do it. They begin to cause you to question the authority of this word, and then they set themselves up as the authority. And if you want to know what's going to happen, you got to go to the prophet. Because you can't trust the Bible. Because man has tampered with it. You know what? I've said this before. I'm going to say it again. But I remember this time when I was in the army, and I was not living for God at all. And I ran into this captain who had a Bible. I said, how can you believe in that thing? He said, I told him it contradicts itself. So he hands it to me. He says, show me where. I think I turned 3 shades of purple at that time. Folks, a lot of times when people think that this book is contradicting, it's, in fact, every time when they think it's contradicting, it's really that they are misunderstanding the word, or they don't understand the context. Often people will take scriptures and they will put together a puzzle of their own choosing. You can make the Bible say anything you want. That's what the cults do. They take, pick and choose scriptures, they put them together and make it say whatever they want to say, and say, see, it's right here in the Bible. But they aren't taking things in context. They have to take something out here and over here. And if you don't rightly divide the word of truth, then you get into error. And so the enemy wants you to distrust what God says. He wants you to say, hey, come on, you don't really believe that, do you? He wants us to believe that somehow we might have a better idea. You know what I'm saying? Have you ever heard that? The voice of reason would say, if we try to operate by our reason alone, folks, we're in trouble. We have all made mistakes because of our reason. We were reasoning things out in our own minds. But we were not submitting our minds to the authority of God's Word. When you begin to submit your intellect to the Spirit of God, amen, then things begin to come into order. Then your mind begins to operate the way it's supposed to. You begin to think the right thoughts. But if you set yourself up above God's Word by saying, I have a better idea, that is a high thing that's exalting itself. That's an arrogant thought, and that kind of thought has to be brought down. Amen? It has to be brought under submission to the Word of God and say, wait a minute. If people start to how many have heard, maybe you've done it too, that the Word of God contradicts, the Bible contradicts. Anybody ever heard that? We've probably all said it and heard it, maybe, right? Until we begin to really understand what God is saying. How many know that natural man cannot get it, period? So to natural man, it's fables. They're just stories that somebody created and put in a book. But by the Spirit of God, we are able to understand what is real. What is real is what is true. When you know what is true, then you will not fall for the lie. When the light of God's Word comes in, the darkness has no longer a place to hide in us. So a stronghold is you and I allowing thoughts that are arrogant thoughts, that are contradicting or that are coming against or setting themselves up above even the authority of God's Word. When we begin to think on, meditate on those types of thoughts, they become strongholds. If you begin to believe, as some, that Satan is more powerful than God, then people get into strongholds of the occult. They begin to worship what they fear. And so and that's why I hate Halloween, because it exalts fear. It exalts death. It exalts the darkness. Whoa! So many people are tormented by fear. Because they begin to think on, meditate on, dwell on things that God says no to. I have not given you a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Hey, what are we going to believe? I'm just afraid. I'm just fearful all the time. Quit saying that. Quit thinking that. Start building yourself up. Amen. Renew. Wash your mind through what God says. I have not been given a spirit of fear. Whenever the devil tells you a lie, speak the truth. Whenever somebody curses you, bless them. When you get a thought that is ungodly, deal with it immediately. Don't allow that to get down inside your memory. It goes deep. And it begins to corrupt your thinking. How many know that your thoughts can mess you up? I mean, your thoughts can actually produce sickness. There are a lot of people who have strongholds of sickness just because they're expecting to be sick all the time. Because the devil told them you're going to be sick. You're just going to live a life of sickness. Now, if you're sick, I'm not picking on you here today, okay? But there's a such thing as a stronghold of a mentality that I'm just sick. I've known people, maybe you have too, that I knew a woman years ago. Every time you ran into her, how's it going today? Oh, let me tell you. I got this wrong. I got that wrong. And it was a mentality, folks. It was a stronghold. It was a thought system where she just had an expectation that I'm always going to be sick. It's the same thing. If you start dabbling, you know, folks, I hate When I was a kid, I used to love the thrill of horror movies. And of course, they've changed quite a bit since then. Quite a bit. Where there's just a flat-out exaltation of the devil. But I used to watch these things. And then you all know, you watch that scary movie and now you can't sleep at night. I wonder why. We love the thrill of it, but we don't like the results of it. It's the way sin is, isn't it? It's something that's thrilling at first, but then later we're like, well, why did I do that? Some people can't go to bed without the light being on. They're afraid of the dark. How many know that's a stronghold of fear? How many know that God can break that thing out of you? Amen? Yes. God can deliver you from that. Amen. There's some people that can't go to bed at night without having some kind of media or noise or television or something going because they're fearful. It's a stronghold. God wants to demolish it. God wants to come in to those areas of your heart and He wants to bring freedom to you. Do you know the Lord will never reveal something to us without giving you the grace to be free from it? If the Holy Spirit convicts us, it's always to heal us and restore us. Amen? It's never to condemn you. Jesus said, I didn't come to condemn the world, but that the world through me might be saved. He came to bring life and life more abundantly. So if we're not careful about our thought life, folks, as we just read in the article, it's just science saying, hey, it's in the Word of God, but even science itself is discovering that God's Word is true. Archaeologists are now using the Word of God to know where to dig. Over and over, even within itself, the Bible proves that it is the Word of God. There is no way that those over thousands of years and hundreds of years sometimes and thousands of years in other places could prophesy something and it come to fulfillment and perfectly in Christ. Except that God was there, that He's an eternal God. And as He had spoken by the same Spirit, amen, years before, it came to fruition. Whatever God says will come to pass. So the Bible proves itself within itself. There's over 300 very clear prophecies about Christ. How can that be? Well, it's because God wrote this book, not man. Man was moved by the Holy Spirit. And there is a real attack on the authority of Scripture today, folks. And there is so much deception out there, so much, that even Jesus said, if possible, the very elect will be deceived in the last days. And we need to be on our guard. Whenever anyone or anything begins to question this book right here, folks, be careful. Because it's a slippery slope. Now I become my own authority. Now I pick and choose what is true and what is not. Folks, we do not have the capability to do that. Look around in the world today. Take a look at your own life and the times when you did not listen to the counsel of God and the fruit of that. How many times I've counseled people and I said, you know, the Bible says not to be unequally yoked with unbelievers, and somebody wants to get married and one's a believer, the other is not. Oh, it's okay. We'll get married and then we'll just work on him or I'll work on her and it'll all work out. What does the Word of God say? What did God say by the Holy Spirit to us? It's there for a reason. And they're ignoring that voice of reason or voice of truth. And so they go ahead and they do, in other words, what they thought was a better idea. I know what he says, but I want it so badly. Every time we have sympathetic thoughts towards evil, we're giving Satan access to that area of our lives. And he don't like you. His whole mission is to destroy you. Amen? He wants to steal God's blessings from you. Proverbs 28 and 13 says, he who covers his sins will not prosper. But whoever confesses and forsakes them will have mercy. That word prosper means to push forward, to break out or move forward. Whoever covers his sins will not move forward. They will not be able to go on in their walk. Are you with me? Until we come to the place where we acknowledge that the Holy Spirit has convinced me that there is a stronghold in my life, I go to quit making excuses for that. I've got to come to the place where I'm willing to confess it before God and renounce my connection to it and say, God, forgive me, cleanse me, and deliver me from this thing. But if we do not agree with the counsel of God by the Holy Spirit, then we are allowing that thing to continue to operate in our life. And everything begins with a seed. It begins with a thought seed. Just the thought. What are you going to do with the thought? I've talked throughout these teachings, I've talked about a lot of different things, pornography being one of them. You know, it's the thought. It was the first look. You can't always help folks, amen, what happens immediately in your eye gate, what you happen to see. But you can control what you do next. It's getting quiet in here. We have the ability to say no. But even as they have discovered in medical science, if you continue to ignore the warnings of the Holy Spirit, and you continue to do it anyways, then it gets deep down into your memory. And it actually becomes a part of you. It becomes a permanent thing. And the only way to break out of that, and it can be very difficult, is by the washing of the Word, the Word, the Word, the Word. Amen. That's why Satan doesn't want you in that book. He doesn't want you reading that. He's going to do everything he can to keep you from reading and knowing the mind and the heart of God through His Word. So that then you become wise in your own understanding. To me, it's like that. We've got so many opinions. But my opinion is not the way of life. God's Word, God's way is the way of life. Part of Jesus' ministry was to reveal the thoughts of many hearts. In Luke chapter 2 and 34, when Simeon had taken Jesus and blessed him, he said to Mary, his mother, "Behold, this child is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign which will be spoken against. Yes, a sword will pierce through your own soul," speaking to Mary also, "that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed." Do you know why people really got upset with Jesus? Because he was the light. And wherever he went, the light was on. And the light shone in the darkness. And people that were walking in darkness, some of them didn't like that. Amen? I don't like the fact that this guy is reading my mail, that he knows what's really going on in the secret place where I live. Not what I'm showing other people, but where I really live, and that's in my heart of hearts. And the light of Christ shines, it turns the light on, and you begin to realize, wow, I'm in trouble. Do you know the fear of the Lord fell upon the early church? Why? Because of the glory of God. Amen? When the glory of God comes in, the light comes on, people begin to say, wow, I have no place to hide. I'm exposed. When Isaiah saw the Lord in Isaiah chapter 6, he was exposed by the holiness of God. It's like, woe is me! I'm a man of unclean lips. Right away, he became aware of his sinfulness and how far he had fallen short of his glory. Woe is me. But the Lord's purpose was to bring redemption. The Lord wanted to cleanse Isaiah. Just like he wants to cleanse us, he wants to clean us. Amen? He wants to purify our hearts so that we might be filled with himself. That we might enjoy life. How many know life is not activities? It's life is Christ. Amen. It's a relationship with Jesus. Well, we were really living, man. The next day you're vomiting over the porcelain God, you know. I know some of you got that picture. We'll have to wash that out of your mind now with something better. But I said before, the reason God reveals something, folks, is not so that you just feel bad and feel guilty and get discouraged and want to quit. But the reason God reveals these things to us, whether it might be a stronghold of guilt or shame or fear, you know, a stronghold of lying, There are people that they just can't help but lie all the time. Why? It began with the little lie, and then it became a life of lying. How many have ever been caught in a lie before?
Amen.
Okay. We've all done it, right? How many start out with one little lie, and then it became another lie to cover that lie, and another lie? Before long, your life is a lie. And until you come to the place where I have to admit I'm wrong, you walk around with this guilt and this shame, and I'm a liar, and I'm living a lie now. It's always so much better to say, right at the very beginning, no. I have to make a decision here. I'm not going to lie. Otherwise, it becomes a stronghold. That stronghold word means a place of security, a fortified castle. In other words, it's very hard to penetrate and to deal with it. And the only thing that will really do it is the love and the word of God. Amen? Then when the love of God comes in, it broke through the veil in my heart. He began to show me how much he loved me. When he died on that cross, folks, he was demonstrating his love for you and I. That we could be forgiven of our sins, that we could have a brand new heart and a brand new beginning, and that old things will pass away, and behold, all things will become new in Christ. Hallelujah. But when you come to Jesus, it does not automatically mean that all the bad habits go immediately. Some things immediately fall off. Other things you have to navigate through. You have to work through. And you do that through the Word of God and prayer. Amen. Stay in the Word of God and stay in prayer. Let God begin to cleanse and wash you through the Word. In other words, you're starting, as the doctor had realized, starting to build up over what was. You're actually, you're receiving something of higher quality. I remember Ray Kirkland, when he was here, he spoke about the covenant of salt, and that if there was a curse spoken, the only way to break that is you can't get rid of the curse, but you can decree a higher decree. So if somebody curses, you bless and it cancels it out. Do you see that? So if somebody curses you, you just bless them and it cancels it out. And so when we decree the word over a situation that maybe inferior, that there's a problem going on, instead of accepting and receiving that, we begin to speak what God says over it. Are you with me?
Yeah.
Power of life and death is in your tongue.
Yes.
That's in the Bible for a reason, by the way. I mean, there's people that criticize, or name it and claim it. No, we're naming and claiming what God reveals to us in His Word that is for our lives now. I'm not naming and claiming Cadillacs, however I'd like to have one. No, I wouldn't actually. Actually, I'm not a Cadillac person, but it's not about those things. It's not about stuff, right? It's about abundant life in the Spirit. That your soul may prosper. Man, when you're happy in Jesus, the rest of that stuff is like, it's okay, it's nice, but it's not what life is about. Life is Jesus. Amen. He is my life. If we have honest hearts, okay, God can work with us. God will work with us. Why? Because we have to work with Him, folks. He's not going to do it for you. Are you with me? He will do things for you, but you have to cooperate with Him in it. Why? Because He gave you a free will to choose. He will never violate your free will. It's in the free will that we have to make a decision. Am I going to agree with God or disagree? And if I agree with God, it's going to go well for my soul. I've discovered that when I agree with God, it's always good. It always works when I agree with God. But when I get into arguments with God and I disagree with God, and I said, I know what you say, but right now I don't want to eat the peas. I just want some candy, all right? You got to have the whole thing. You've got to receive the full counsel of God to be a whole person. To have a healthy spiritual life, you must receive the whole counsel of God. Amen?
Amen.
Now, there are many believers, fellow believers, who have a wonderful walk with the Lord. But in some areas, they're being robbed even because they don't happen to believe certain things that are in the Bible. What a shame. Oh, I don't believe that the gifts are for today. The gifts of the Spirit. Well, I don't believe, you know, that those things are from God. Ooh, that's dangerous, to attribute the works of God to Satan. Now, we know he's a counterfeit and we have to be careful. But wherever there's the genuine, there's going to be the counterfeit. But they can be good brothers and sisters. Heaven is going to be their home. But the enemy is a thief. And he's robbing of something that is actually their portion, even here and now. How many know that God wants to heal the sick?
Yes.
And the reason why God wants to heal the sick is to demonstrate that he is risen. To demonstrate that the kingdom is among you. Come on, it's not enough just to talk theory. This is very much a hands-on word here. God said, this is it. I'm putting it in your hand. I've given you my word. And I back up my word. I've given you authority to go in my name and declare the kingdom is among you.
Yes.
And as you go, he said, heal the sick. Cleanse the lepers. Cast out devils. Amen. Raise the dead. Amen. Freely you've received, freely give.
Yeah.
So if we don't believe that, well, that's something that's taken out of your experience, out of your life. That is a gift, not just for you, but for somebody else that needs it. There's a lot of young people that get involved in the occult simply because they're in dead churches, that there's no life there. And people realize that, hey, I need a greater power than myself to get along in this world. Everybody looks for something. Everybody worships something. To some people, they bow down to the football god, you know. Their whole life is wrapped up in sports. There's nothing sinful about sports unless you make it a god. But do you see, there are people who will prioritize football over the things of God. Then it becomes an idol. That's just an example. We've got to take every thought captive. When the enemy whispers something that does not line up with what God says, you must immediately get a hold of it and say, no, I'm not going to believe that. If the devil comes up and whispers in your ear and says, here you are, you're just a loser. Well, that's not what Jesus said about me. So I immediately take that thought captive and I cast it down. Because if you begin to dwell on, think on, meditate on that, it becomes a part of you. And guess what? As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. You start to live it out. You start to live like a loser. If you believe you're a loser, you'll act like a loser. If you believe you're a failure, it's the same thing. If you believe nobody loves you, you're actually sowing something in the spirit that often will produce that kind of fruit. If you walk into a crowd and you believe now, nobody's going to accept me here. Why? Because it's just been my experience. I've always been rejected. You get a spirit of rejection. So you walk into a crowd with an expectation of rejection. Guess what's going to happen? Everywhere you go, people are going to be like rejecting. Why? Because that's what you're sowing. And the demons are very much aware of it, and they can run with any thought that is exalting itself against what God said about you, that you are accepted, that you are beloved by the Father. Amen? That you are his child. That you're royalty. You are a king's kid. You don't have to listen to that lie anymore. And if it's gone deep and it's become a stronghold, then you need to start washing over it. You need to start feeding, amen, on what God says. Start building yourself up on the promises of God. And whenever that thing tries to come back, say, nope, not receiving that anymore. I'm dead to it, but I'm alive to God, amen, in Christ. Some people, I'm going to finish with this one this morning. I mean it. Some people have habits that they can't get over. And often the reason why is because they fear that habit. They fear that that habit will get the best of them again. And so they're sowing in the spirit this expectation that I'm going to reoffend, or I'm going to be, you know, shooting dope again. That I'm not really set free. And so if you go and you start to walk with an expectation of reoffending, And then guess what happens? You do. Why? Because you're putting faith in a lie rather than in the truth. That Jesus said, whomsoever the Son sets free is free indeed. Paul said, I will be not under the power of any. Amen. He was not going to be addicted to anything or anyone. He was a servant of the Most High God. He was not going to be a slave to sin anymore because Christ had redeemed him. That's what he believed. He considered himself dead to sin, but alive to God. Amen. If you don't believe that, then you will continue to sin. Why? Because you're putting your faith in the lie rather than in the truth. That if any man be in Christ Jesus, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. Hallelujah. All things have become new.